I brought up something and you said, no, that doesn't count.
But you said it's in the theme song.
Yeah. Is the theme song not part of the episode?
Technically, no. There's no storytelling happening. It's just a song and there's flashing images.
Yeah, that are related to the story. The thought that literally just went through my head was, I get to take the jingle bells off the audio track. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry. I forgot who does the music. Is it Luna Ray? Is that who it is? I can't remember. But, lady, I'm sorry for ruining your track with a crappy jingle bell thing. It was just for Christmas, but every time I listened to it, I hated it.
Not her music specifically, but the combination.
Oh, no, I really like her song. Yeah. She put out, like, more music, and I'm like, I actually really like her music. When I try to enhance it for the holidays, I don't.
Enhance isn't the word.
There was an attempt at enhancing.
Yes. But, yeah, so, like you said, holidays are all over. We wrapped up.
Technically, it's not.
Sorry for D-Pain always ruining the timeline for everybody. But for anyone listening to this now, we have completed our not-so-Christmas, Christmassy movie rankings. Rankings? Mm-hmm. Ratings.
Yes.
Ratings is a better term. At the end of the day, a lot of things tied. So now we learn things for next year.
I will say... if people listen to that, they would have heard how we closed the last episode of how we broke the tie. And I asked the guy who the cop at that I work with,
mm-hmm.
Or rather retired cop, and I told him the three movies that tied, and I told him what I think we agreed what our of the ranking of how we would put these in Christmas watching,
mm-hmm.
and he agreed, like, even though
he loves Die Hard. Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, no, Gremlins is definitely a way more of a Christmas movie than Die Hard.
Look at that.
So he's like, because he'll fully admit, he's like, yeah, it takes part in Christmas, but honestly, that movie could take place at any time.
Yeah, Christmas is just like the beginning excuse to get everybody together, but otherwise, after mm-hmm. that point, it doesn't matter. It's Christmas.
Yeah.
But yeah, no more holiday talk, because after this, we got our next big holiday to worry about, and we've already started planning for that one. But everybody, buckle in. For many weeks, you're going to listen to us talk about Gravity Falls.
Woo!
40 to be precise.
Yep, they'll take us all the way up to the best holiday, which I think we already came up with what we're doing there.
I know something was mentioned. Yeah, but we have time. Plenty of time to get there.
No, it's planned. I don't remember what it was, but it's planned.
It's okay, you messaged me something like maybe for 2024.
Yeah.
Pre-planning. But yes, so because we have the 40 weeks of Gravity Falls coming up, D-Pain found the perfect way to introduce each of these episodes.
Yes, I'm going to give one fact about Quantum Leap. I don't know why that was the movie that came to, or show that came to mind, because if anyone's like, oh, is that what they're talking about next? No, we haven't talked about Quantum Leap at all. Haven't even thought about Quantum Leap. But I got 40 top 40 Gravity Falls facts according to endlessawesome.com.
Trustworthy.
Yeah. So, the first fact to kick off the first episode of Gravity Falls is the creator of Gravity Falls was inspired by him and his twin... That doesn't sound like a correct... Anyway. Him and his sister's childhood experience. Alright. Pretty much the TV show Gravity Falls was inspired by the twins' childhood experience. Alec Hirsch said that he based the series on real-life experience during his summer vacations with his sister. In the show, there's a strong bond between Dipper and Mabel. We'll find out who those are people. That was also not a good English sentence. And Alex and his sister have a strong bond, too. Part of me wonders if I should have read through some of these. But anyway.
Look, it's We don't need to do a separate bloopers reel for podcasts. It's all just built in. You guys get the full experience.
We ain't here to make a cleanly, well-edited episode. What are we? Editors?
We're just a bunch of pals all hanging out talking about a bunch of things that we nerd out about.
I'm also just trying to find out if the second episode... Who's in the second episode? Because I'm just like...
You're skipping all the way ahead? We haven't even talked about the first episode.
Well, the reason why I'm wondering is because the fact of the second fact is, like, tied to a certain character. And I'm like, when does that character show up?
Oh.
And so... Oh, well. Oh. On episode 9. Okay. I think. Yeah. So, any poop.
Yeah. Either way, spoiler warnings if you haven't watched the show yet.
Yeah. What's wrong with you? Who wouldn't watch the show? It's been out for how long?
It says you who watched it for the first time. Was it last year?
Yep.
Yeah. My concept of time is thrown off. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before.
No, I think it was this year.
It was this year?
I think so.
Well, I guess the year isn't over for us quite yet, so.
Yeah, hold on. Let's see. If I search Gravity Falls in our search.
Uh-oh, from our messages.
Yeah. I gotta, let's see. I found when we first started talking about doing a Gravity Falls show, mm-hmm. or like series of episodes, that was May of 2022.
Okay, so just, you know, 7-ish months ago.
Yep, it was this year.
So everything should be fresh on your mind.
Wait, no. I have a message here from January 13th, 2022. So I was talking to a guy at work about and Gravity Falls came up. He suggested we talk about it on the podcast and go through every episode. Thoughts on the idea?
Yes, you would have watched it in 2021 because I thought, yes, I thought it wasn't watching it while we were doing the Over the Garden Wall episodes.
Wait, when did we do Over the Garden Wall? I thought we did Over the Garden... oh my goodness. I thought that was this year. Don't worry, guys. We'll get to the episode eventually.
Uh-oh. Over the Garden Wall was April, because I have some messages of you sending me, like, wiki links. Yeah, we finished the quiz in March.
Oh, wait a second. I think I was watching. I originally watched Over the Garden Wall. And then after watching Over the Garden Wall in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And then. Oh, excuse me. Then I think I watched What We Do in the Shadows. And then after that, it was Gravity Falls.
Yeah, so January 19th. So the clock has been set. Hulu gets rid of Gravity Falls in 13 days. Supposedly. Yes. So
yes.
So you did watch it this year.
I finished it this year.
Yeah.
And that's when I got dedicated.
And now you get to be dedicated a second time.
I can't wait for Hulu to set a time clock and then we'll be like, it doesn't matter. And then it actually gets taken off.
Okay. So yes. So like we said, spoiler warning. We'll do a little chat through of the episode. And I think since we've both watched through the show, this will be kind of reactions and then also kind of doing the connections. Because I watched the episode and I was like, oh, I remember some bits and pieces that come up later. And then there's a section in the wiki I sent you for series continuity. And I didn't catch that until I rewatched it. And I was like, oh, he's right there. But again, we'll bring it up. As it comes up.
I brought up something and you said, no, that doesn't count.
But you said it's in the theme song.
Yeah. Is the theme song not part of the episode?
Technically, no. There's no storytelling happening. It's just a song and there's flashing images.
Yeah, that are related to the story. I'm also trying to find the continuity thing on here.
It's towards the very bottom.
Oh, well, I went too far.
It's below the credits.
I almost said a character's name, and that's a spoiler. I found trivia.
A little bit about that. It's like
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And then you can click the picture to make it bigger.
Oh, hey. I didn't even see him.
Yeah, I didn't see him either. And then I played the episode. I was like, oh, nice.
I think there's like, yeah, I think there's a scene where he's in. It shows that scene of him walking in there. Anyway, we'll talk about that whenever we get to it. Let's roll die and find out who's going first.
All right, I pre-rolled when you were doing, I think during the fact, and I rolled a good old, you can see that I have the wiki up, but let me do that.
Will, my friend, since this is one of your favorite shows, I will give you the honor of going first with my natural one.
Yeah, for anyone that isn't watching the video version, which we have up on YouTube, I was showing off that I rolled a 4 on my phone app. Good. Which dice was it? Was it Stinky Cheese?
No, it was the Galaxy die.
Oh, man. Oh, that's a good one for this show.
Yeah, that's why I picked it up. It was also just sitting there. So. Yeah.
But the Galaxy die doesn't make sense for a very long time. Now that I say that.
I don't know.
We'll get there.
Maybe I'll just roll a d4.
So then you can... Why?
Because of the character that's in the theme song.
Oh my goodness. He's...
The best character? I know. So anyway, what do you think of this episode?
I don't think he has 4 dimensions to him.
He's like an onion. He has many dimensions.
I'm trying to think if there's any drawing of him, but I think he's always flat.
Whoa.
Anyway, so, yes.
I don't think he would appreciate that.
He would not appreciate a lot of things, but yes. So, I guess, yeah, to introduce the episode, this is the pilot episode for Gravity Falls. Name is Taurus Trapped. From what I can tell from my readings, it's a little bit of a spoof because you meet Grunkle Stan, who has his little Taurus trap spot where he embellishes a lot about the folklore of everything happening in Gravity Falls to make a quick buck. And also, you know, the main characters that we meet are Dipper and Mabel, the twins, like you said in your fact, that are essentially the main characters of the show. And they're trapped in Gravity Falls because you find out that their parents... this is like one of the few episodes where Dipper is narrating over the episode. And he explains that his parents sent them there to live with their uncle, who they call Grunkle Stan. And so the episode kind of is an introduction to a ton of characters. So like we said, you have the twins, Dipper and Mabel. Dipper is shown to be very serious, very nerdy, very curious and observant of everything around him. Whereas Mabel is very hyper, very boy crazy, very much like, this is the time to be alive. This is it. This is our summer. You know, she's very outgoing and she hits on anything that walks in. I think her first scene that you see her in is her handing the letter to the guy. Will you date me? Yes or yes?
Yes, definitely, absolutely.
Yeah, and the guy's just like, oh, no. And then her jump scaring various men into dating her, like the mattress salesman.
That's
mascot.
My favorite. That one always will crack me up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I forgot to mention, Gravity Falls is supposed to be set in Oregon, so a lot of the backdrops are very much woods, forest, mountains, wilderness, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And then the other people you meet, like I said, they have their Uncle Stan Pines, and he runs the shack. He has his little hat, and he's constantly lying to people. I know I shouldn't say lying, but he's constantly lying to people and is...
He's running grifts.
Yeah. And always coming up with the next, like, shtick to try and attract people to his mystery shack, which is where they all live. Then you have Seuss, the caretaker. You only get a couple glimpses of Seuss, like Seuss gets bossed around in one part, and then Seuss jump scares Dipper later, which I also love. And then you also meet Wendy, who's a teenager just working the front cashier spot.
Not a lot of Wendy in this episode. Like, no. She's just there.
Yeah, you see her, and you see that she works at the shop. And then the biggest portion of the episode is Mabel gets a boyfriend. And right before she gets the boyfriend, Dipper happens upon a mechanism that opens a hidden vault that reveals the... If you've seen any pictures or any media about the show, you've seen the book. It's a six-figured hand, and he has the number 3 at the center as a book. He skims through the book and learns that someone's been... it's part diary, part, like, investigation of all the weirdness in Gravity Falls. My favorite thing in this episode is they show the page for gnomes, like, 6 times.
Yeah.
And the big thing that Dipper takes away from it, outside of, like, feeling understood, right? Because he mentions, like, I feel watched in the woods, and Uncle Stan is like, whatever, whatever, just ignore it. You're making things up. He sees in the end of the book, it says, trust nobody in Gravity Falls. And then it mentions, like, keeping the book out of his hands, but he doesn't know, you know, you don't know who he is, except D-Pain does.
I will go with that. I don't forget.
You've only kept mentioning this character ever since we brought up what we'll do when we finish up the series.
The best character. Many dimensions.
So, yeah. So, Mabel breaks the news to Dipper that she got a boyfriend. And Dipper's like, I've been gone for 30 minutes. How did you get a boyfriend? And she brings him to the house. He says his name is Normal Man. And Mabel goes, oh, your name's Norman. And he seems very uncoordinated. She says he met him in the graveyard, being mysterious and cool. And then he offers to hold hands with her, and she gets all flustered. So Dipper flips through his book, believes that he's a zombie, and tries to do everything that he can to, like, you know, let Mabel see the truth so he can protect her. And then the, again, like I said, they keep bringing up gnomes, you know. Key word here. He opens the book and is like, he's one of these, and it's gnomes, and she screams, and he's like, oh no, a zombie. And she's like, oh, I wanted him to be a vampire.
Yeah, that's it's like a common theme throughout this whole show of just like Dipper trying to explain something, and then Mabel is just, oh, wait, it could have been cooler if it was this. And he's like, that's not the point.
Yeah, Dipper is infinitely paranoid and scared, and Mabel's just like, come on, wouldn't it be a cool story? And Dipper's like, no, I don't want a cool story. I want to live.
So
Mabel is off, you know, going on dates with this guy and practicing her kissing. Where she has an incident with a leaf blower.
Out of all the things.
Why practice with that?
Yes. It's like, I don't know. Well, it's also the thing is just, I didn't realize leaf blowers had a suck and blow option.
I've personally never used a leaf blower, but I remember, like, in other cartoons, I've seen the gag done, so yeah. It must be a thing.
I think they have a backpack, like, that is like a little trash bag that collects it all. Because, like, all that style does, not to, like, nitpick, but it's
that would have a place to go. But this just handheld one that's just a motor and fan. Yeah,
normally it's just blow, like, as it says, a leaf blower.
Oh, yeah, and then in Dipper's investigations, he decides he's going to go save Mabel himself, and that's where Seuss kind of jumps in, and he's like, I heard you talking mysteriously to yourself in this room, and I thought I'd butt in. And Dipper just jumps backwards as Seuss is just fixing a light bulb.
Yeah.
But yes.
And then he gets yelled at, and he's like, I ain't been summoned somewhere else. Just shuffles into the background.
Then Dipper takes the go-kart and decides to go save Mabel, because what Dipper doesn't exactly know is that Mabel does get revealed as to what her boyfriend is, and well, it's gnomes in a trench coat.
Gnomes all the way down.
And he's just like, I have a secret. She's like, you're a vampire. He's like, promise not to freak out. And then he takes off the hoodie, and she's just like, Oh, because it's five gnomes?
Yeah.
Because it's like four stacked on top of each other, and then the head one. Yeah, it's like
2-2-1.
And he introduces all of their names, and the only ones that I remember are... Oh, I'm forgetting it now. I want to say Smeg Lord, but I don't think that's exactly right.
It's Smegelbach or whatever it is. Smeblock. It doesn't have a way to pronounce it.
Schmebulock.
Schmebulock.
But yes, yeah, so he introduces all of them. The rest of the gnomes and the whole society seem to be kind of like unable to talk.
Yeah.
Whereas the one that was playing the face explains the whole plot line of she is to be the next gnome bride and the queen of the gnomes.
Yeah, he's also the only one that doesn't have white hair and beard.
Mm-hmm. He stands out quite a bit. Oh, I think his name's Jeff. Yes, because it says Jeff begins to explain the big misunderstanding. Yeah, because Dipper shows up. And she's tied down, like, in Gulliver's Travels. Yeah. And Jeff turns around and is like, no, 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 you don't understand. She's going to marry a thousand gnomes of the forest. Everything's fine.
I think when that's all going on, that's one of my scene that it's just, I like how it shows kind of like how Dipper works, where he's just like, he sees this gnome, he sees Jeff just going on, and it's like, the way it kind of looks like he's just going to hit him with the shovel, and he's just... gently just scoops him and whoop,
yeah,
just throws him. He's just like, okay, come on, get out of my way.
Dipper is very proactive in trying to do things, but very nonviolent in his approaches to everything. Yeah. But yeah, so then they go and him and Mabel start to drive away, to which they find out all the gnomes, just like we practice, guys, turns into a giant gnome monster made out of the thousand gnomes. Begins chasing after them as
like melted Twizzlers.
Yeah. And I think my favorite scene with a giant gnome is when he slams his arm in the ground and all the gnomes fall out and they all regather into the arm.
Because Dipper is like, Mabel's like, okay, we got away, just go quick. And it's like, dude, they got little legs, how are they gonna run? And then it's just like, boom, boom, boom.
Giant monster.
I do like how it's just not one big, like, fusion of hats and red. It's like you can see little gnome heads sticking out.
Every
just
so
like,
often.
Yeah. And then, like, it zooms in and it shows, like, them all holding hands. Or just stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, so then they the giant gnome essentially chases them back to the mystery shack, to which Mabel pretends, you know, or she says that she has a plan and asks Dipper to trust her, so then... She at first agrees to the marriage and then takes the leaf blower, sucks in Jeff, and shoots it back into the heart of the big gnome, to which they all fall apart. And Mabel has her little speech saying, oh man, you broke my heart, blah, 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 blah. You're my...
Last Christmas.
Yeah. to which Mabel and Dipper end up hugging because they're like, oh, we saved the day and we should trust each other. Because, you know, that's the little moral of the episode. Because Dipper is...
sibling hug.
Awkward sibling hug. then I think so then Uncle Stan offers them, you know, to be a nice uncle because he sees that they look beat up coming in from everything. He's like, you guys get to pick one thing from the mystery shack. Dipper picks his iconic hat that you see him wear in every episode after this, essentially. And Mabel gets a grappling hook.
Grappling hook. Yep. I don't know. It's like, why was that even on sale?
She found it in a box, I'm pretty sure, like somewhere hidden.
It's like, but like still, it's, I guess some things make sense a little bit later, but it's just like, okay, that was just, I guess, just there.
Yeah, it was just such a random assortment of goods. So then after that, Dipper kind of narrates saying like, oh, I guess there are people I should trust in the neighborhood, to which I think the big thing to note is Uncle Stan opening the door behind the vending machine. And then it kind of wraps up the episode there.
Yep. Just And it's like the longest slow burn. Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, we'll get into that. Once again, like later. But yeah. Yeah, I think it does a pretty good job of like, it's definitely, I don't know, it's the pilot episode, so it's not like a bunch of stuff that we can go, like, it's not going to go deep on a lot of stuff, because it's like, okay, it's got to set the groundwork.
Yeah, it's got to do, I think for a pilot episode, they did a good job of setting characters and kind of motivation for at least Dipper especially. Because they introduce a book and Dipper's like, oh, I want to understand everything in it. And it was very fun to see him flip open to the page of gnomes and go, they don't have a weakness.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's, whoop, I just punched my mic. Who put that there? But yeah, I think it was good because it kind of starts off, like, the beginning episode is just like, that the thing that always gets memed where it's just like a big action scene. It's like, hey, this is me. And I'm pretty sure you're wondering how I got here. Well, let's go back. Theme song.
Yeah. But, and I like that they changed it up just a little bit because he makes you go like, oh, this is a town where people like, or it's summer vacation. Everyone's grilling. Mm-hmm. And like, you're like, oh, we're going to get introduced to this family. And then he comes out of a golf cart through a giant sign. And it's like, oh, yeah, we got sent here by my parents. Anyway. Yeah.
We don't even want to be here. Yeah, they do that, and then it's, I don't know, like, I don't watch a lot of TV shows, or really anything, so it's, but, like, I don't know, I could see, like, if they do a narration, like, when they start off giving a narration, sometimes, I feel like it's, and it might have just been the time when I was watching shows where it was just like, here's Mabel, my sister. She is like, and then just list off all the characteristics. And it's just like, I think it doesn't necessarily do that, but it's like, it's just like, yep. Like, it just talks about her. It shows it rather than just like sit there and explain it. And it's like, mm-hmm. Because the episode is split up into thirds for commercial breaks, but yeah, it's like the first third is like her being boy crazy, well, her chasing after everybody, and then it's like the middle is just like reaction to her finding someone that actually wants to hang out with her, and then the rescue.
The reveal. But,
yeah. But I think now I'm like, I think they do a little bit of like narration explanation of a little bit. It's just like, this is Uncle's, Grunkle, Uncle Stan. I forget what the Grunkle. There we go.
Yeah. Grunkle.
Grunkle Stan. And, yeah, it kind of makes me laugh a little bit just of like even just right now, like, even though I know stuff about the whole show, just like how he has his own bobbleheads that he sells.
That he's selling to people, yeah.
It's like, man, I guess he's super sure of himself.
I mean, he's confident if nothing else.
Yeah. So, but yeah, there's just, I don't know. I like how it shows everybody, like, it gives like a quick explanation of who everyone is, and then it's just like, the way it plays out, you just see how everyone acts.
Yeah, kind of just let them live and breathe in the world that you establish.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. It made me laugh, probably made me laugh even more to the fact that I'd watched the whole series of when Mabel and Dipper are running away from the gnome giant. That's a weird sentence. But anyway, they're running away from it, and they crash the golf cart. It's like, Grunkle Stan will be able to help us. Grunkle Stan! And it just, like, pulls out, and they're inside the mystery shack, and then it's just like, look at this thing, the spinning object of...
The most distracting thing in the world. Yeah, Look away.
And it sits there for, like, 30 seconds. He's like, yeah, I don't even remember what I'm supposed to be doing right now. And then it comes back out as, like, the gnomes are just, like, pummeling, mm-hmm. trying to get them. And so, it's amazing, like, how much destruction is done in that show.
Yeah, and the city manages to recover pretty often, even though they make it look like a small town.
Mm-hmm.
Because when look, as you're introduced to other locations in the town, you really have, what, one local restaurant, one rich family.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, like, it's not a very big town. There's not a lot in it.
Yeah. It seems like kind of like one of those one-street towns with a couple streets for houses.
Oh, yeah, they do have the major residential area, which is more important in their Halloween episodes. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's... Yeah, as we were saying, it's like, there's not like there's a whole... like a bunch of like groundbreaking stuff to like really dig into right now, because it's setting it up.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I guess we could go through some of the things in the wiki that were pretty... the only notable series continuity thing that they bring up, that's I feel like if you've watched Gravity Falls a lot, you may not have caught it, because I've watched Gravity Falls a lot, but I think I watch it more in the background more than anything when I put it on at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But for anyone who's watched the series before, in the scene when the giant gnome is outside the Mystery Shack and the go-kart has been flipped on its side, there's somebody hidden in the bushes that doesn't show up for... Oh my gosh, what episode number is
that? Episode 9. Other one that... there's two characters that show up in there, and the one I was mentioning that the second fact is about is not the one that shows up in this episode.
So there's a fun little treasure hunt for anybody that wants to look at that. And then I guess, let me look over the character revelations that they bring
I was just reading that. Dipper. He's smart. He's adventurous. And he has terrophobia, the fear of monsters.
Does he specifically say that, or is it just kind of implied?
I think it's just implied. I don't think he says that. Mabel, she flirts with every boy she meets. She is irresistible.
I feel like if you say that, you have to do the Mabel thing at the end. Wop! Then you have Stan, says he owns the gift shop called the Mystery Shack. It specifically says he lies to Dipper to think there's nothing weird going on. It says it foreshadows events in a later episode. And then and it says he always picks on Dipper to do stuff. And I kind of remembered what episode this is foreshadowing, because it's kind of almost scene for scene later, but...
Yeah. It's also, you know, this episode, this is like the... Is this the season ending?
That particular one? I thought it was... Oh, it is.
It's the second to last episode.
Yeah.
Of the first season.
Okay.
So...
Then we've got Seuss. Like we said, he's the handyman. The major points that they point out on the wiki is he does everything to win Stan's trust. And then... Oh, and he makes the comment to Dipper, like, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but you need to have evidence. Because I laugh at the scene where he's like, the mailman is a werewolf, I swear. Yeah. And he just walks back. And all he does is scoot over half an inch on a bench and glare angrily at him.
I like to imagine, it's just like, I wish I could do his voice better or at all. Just like, dude, no.
Yeah, he's like, if you don't have evidence, everyone's gonna think you're like a crazy man or something like that.
Which makes me believe that he did. I can't remember. There's an episode that comes up later, but it's just like, it makes me believe that he tried.
He tried to convince people. One of my favorite characters is Seuss's grandmother.
Yes.
But again, it takes a long time before we get to meet her.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm just imagining her. So it makes no sense now, but her vacuuming Jell-O. Sorry.
I like when we go to past Seuss.
This small boy. And then it says the last character we meet is Wendy. She's a cashier at the Mystery Shack. They say she's irresponsible. I don't think it's fair to say she's necessarily irresponsible. I think she's just doesn't whatever. Care. Yeah, she doesn't care what other people think.
Yeah. So, well, thinking about it, she did give the keys to the golf cart to a, what, 11-year-old or 12-year-old?
I don't remember how old they're supposed to be.
I think they're 12 because there's a later episode where he's like, yeah, I'm a teenager.
Oh, yes, yes. He is 12 because he does make the... He wants to extend the point that he can hang out with all the teenagers because Wendy mm-hmm. is... She's 16?
Yeah.
They're high schoolers, at least.
Yeah.
That whole crew, when we get to meet them.
They're around that age.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then the thing that we did in previous episodes, I guess since we walked through all the characters that have been introduced... Or no, the thing that we talked about we would do, which we did for Over the Garden Wall.
Mm-hmm.
Whose character did you relate to most in this episode, D-Pain?
Well, he showed up in the theme song. And always watching. Nah. I don't know. Like... This one's a little bit tougher than Over the Garden Wall when I sit there and think through it, because it's just like...
We did get introduced to a lot at once.
Yeah, and it's like they really haven't done a whole bunch to, like, do much. Because, like, Dipper... Yeah, he gets a lot of stuff done, but, he researches a lot more than I would be willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mabel... is way more outgoing and willing to hang out with people than I am.
Oh, you're not as boy crazy as Mabel.
Yeah. Or girl crazy. Like, it's... it's I am neither. Yeah. Stan, and then Stan really doesn't do much in this episode except, like, kind of feel bad for the kids and try to grift people out of their money. Seuss... He's just there, just
even lurking.
Yeah. And then Wendy's just like, hey, I don't even want to be in this episode. I don't know. It's... I think just knowing how I'm wired and stuff, like, I don't think it would always be like this, but just how Stan is so focused on what he's doing, which is trying to get people's money.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, sees how Mabel and Dipper are feeling bad, and then he's just like, okay, let me do something about this. It's I don't know. I guess Stan. Out of all of them.
Then on the flip side, who would you say was your favorite character of this episode?
Seuss cracks me up, but yeah, I don't know. Seuss, like, he doesn't get a lot of action in this movie. And then, episode. It would be a tie between Seuss and, Schmebelblock, whatever.
Schmebulock.
Schmebulock.
Those are two good ones. So then I guess, yeah, that comes to me. Who would I relate to most in this episode? You kind of did a good summary of everyone's, like, mini plot, which is, I think, is really fun with Gravity Falls when you look at it as a whole series, where even though you have so many characters and stuff, you're still able to coherently follow that each character kind of has their own, like, mini plot. Even, like,
mm-hmm.
side characters that just reoccur, like, every episode or so, you're like, oh, right, he has this whole thing he's doing, and that's why he's here right now. Yeah. I mean, I am curious enough to do a ton of research as Dipper, but I'm not really into the supernatural kind of things. So I don't know that I would necessarily become as, like, into the book as Dipper did, or at least take it as seriously as he does.
Mm-hmm.
I am not nearly as boy crazy as Mabel, nor am I. I think when I was a teenager, I think I was probably close to her kind of boy crazy, but I was never willing to be the one to put myself out there. I'd be like, oh, there's boys here.
Why hello there, boys.
I think I did, actually. I take that back. In eighth grade, I do think I gave a boy your note asking him if he'd be my boyfriend. And then he did say yes. And then there's another boy around, or no, I think that was 7th grade. And then 8th grade, I did ask a boy to be my boyfriend. And then he also said yes. Both of those times went horribly. Like, you're not really dating at that age. Like, you know, you're, like, you're not an adult going out to dinner and, like, you know, talking about life plans with anybody. But
I hope you're not talking about life plans at 7th grade.
But they were, I hated it. I did not enjoy dating either of them. To which, let me just say, both of them have managed to find me on one form of social media or the other and try and get back in contact, and I ignored it. But yeah, no, I was not a fan of how those went. And then I made a rule to myself. I said I would never ask out a boy again, because every time it goes bad. So then I've been with Strider for many years now. My one rule was I'll keep talking to him, but I'm never going to ask him out, because every time I ask a boy out. So it took a while, but we got there. So I guess I can kind of relate to Mabel in that, because when I was that age, I guess I did some of the same tactics she would, except I'd never have gone behind a mattress salesman and gone, "Will you be my boyfriend?"
I don't know. I could see Hop doing that. Just like, maybe it wasn't a mattress store. Maybe it was like the GameStop, like hiding in the used PS1 games. Just like,
hey. They go pick up. I don't have a game box near me. Imagine. Yep. I have my Switch case near me. But yeah, imagine there's like a game. If you have video up, I'm holding up a Switch Nintendo case in front of my face. So imagine I'm in the pile of video game titles and someone picks up a title. I'm just like, hey.
Underneath. I'm here now.
While I have your attention.
And then, yeah, that's like, isn't that done in like a whole bunch of like of library scenes where they just like slide the book out and their face is just there, yeah. Just like, hello.
Yeah, it's a popular shtick. But yeah, I don't relate to Stan at all, and I'll say I don't think I ever do in any part of the show.
Yeah,
he is a very particular type of personality. I mean, I get what you say, where he is focused on his own thing, right? Like, he's like, okay, there's other world distractions. I'm not going to think of those. I have one mission, and I'm going to get it done. Mm-hmm. I'm not that kind of person.
I'm only that way if I'm, like, in the middle of it, or it's just, like,
in that focused mode.
Yeah, like, and it's one of the things I'm learning about myself, where it's, like, if there's deviations, like, if, like, big deviations, I'm, like, it frazzles my brain, where I'm just, like, yeah, no.
Seuss, I love Seuss. Seuss, I think, becomes a really strong character a little bit from now. Not yet. Yeah. Some of my favorite episodes are Seuss-focused, but I can't say I've ever sat in a room quietly and gone, I can give you advice.
It's like it's the same thing as Mabel hiding behind balloons at a mattress store, but in a completely different context. It's like, hey, I got it. It's a side quest.
Wendy, I can kind of relate to. I do remember my first job as a teenager.
Handed keys out to 12-year-old children to go drive a golf cart.
Well, I'll say I didn't do that part.
She didn't say no.
I didn't feel like I enjoyed my time there. So I remember in the beginning, I was like, oh, I'll give it all my effort, because, you know, it's a job and everyone says jobs are important. And then towards the end, I was like, I don't really care about this anymore. But I also had things lined up that I was like, this is, in my head, it was always going to be like a part-time job. But I remember one of the things in my memory of the job was I had to host birthday parties for kids. And it was, like, my first time doing one, and I was nervous about, like, encouraging the kids to have a good time. Because they're like, oh, if you do a good time, then you'll get a tip from the mom. You know, that kind of shtick. And then the kid was, like, maybe between 8 or 10. I forget now. But they printed out a picture of a deer on the cake. And the boy looks at me and goes, can you cut me out the deer's head so I can eat it? Because I was there with my dad, and we shot it and killed it. And I went, mm-hmm. So it was like a big, like, 8x10 cake, and I had to cut this little square out the middle and try and scoop it out for the birthday boy. And then he went on bragging about, you know, how they took down the deer. And I was just like, And then the girls that I worked with were sneaky. They're like, oh, I'll help you with the birthday party, but you have to split tips with me. So I think I got like a $10 tip after all that. And I was just like, wow, I don't want to do this.
I'd beheaded a deer for this.
Yeah. And then the end of that story is when I told my boss I wanted a day off because I had a breakfast at the college I was going to. Mm-hmm. He went, I don't have anyone else to do those hours because all of you are like teenagers, so no one's allowed to work 40 hours. And he said, if you want to take this job seriously, you won't take the day off and you'll come into work and not go to your breakfast for college. And I went, okay, you're never seeing me again. And I hung up. It was a skating rink. So yeah. I can relate to Wendy in that whole, like, I'm doing what I have to get paid, but I'm not going to do anything extra for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to give myself Wendy in this episode.
As we were talking, there was, I remembered a few other things that, well, at least one other thing that made me laugh, where Mabel introduces them to Normal Man or Mormon, and Stan walks in, and he's like, hey, Dipper, what are you doing? And he's just like, nothing, hides the book and pulls out Gold Chains for Old Men or whatever it was called.
Magazine. He's like, I'm catching up on the latest Gold Chains magazine.
And he's just like, oh, that's a good episode.
Yeah, that's a good issue.
That's a good issue. It's just like, just sits there drinking pip or whatever they drink in there.
Yeah, it's like, it has a peach pit in it, right? That's the gimmick with it.
I think so. I think they go into it in a later episode.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, and then I think I kind of, out of how everyone acted in this episode, I do think Seuss is my favorite this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Seuss, I have an early prediction that he's probably going to win that a lot.
He's just so, he's, like, his character writing is, it's just enough, right? Like, they don't overuse the joke, but when he's in there, you're like, Seuss, you're silly. Yeah.
And I was like, I like how he's, like, you can tell he knows what he's talking about. But at the same time, she's like, yeah, dude, just gotta do this. And it's just like, it's said in this, like, almost, like, they're not at a beach bump. They're not at a, they don't have,
like kind of like a beach surfer. Town.
But yeah, it's just, like, a little bit of a burnout. He's just like, yeah.
Yeah, and he's always, like, kind of, like, non-committal with everything, too. So you're kind of like, do you mean what you're saying? Or are you, like, just guessing?
Yeah, it's, I also like his shirt. Big old question mark. So if anyone knows what the show is and they don't feel fully fulfilled by this first episode, we say, well, shut up and wait for the next one because we'll have a little bit more to work with.
Yeah, things will get as so like Gravity Falls does a really great job, in my opinion, of kind of stringing the plot along throughout the show. Like, I feel like some shows end up running themselves into a hole, and they're like, all right, we're just going to lore dump on you, because it's, like, been, like, four episodes of, like, when's the thing going to happen? And then there's the episode where they're like, this is where all the things, whereas Gravity Falls is like, hey, do you remember that thing from, like, six episodes ago? Well, actually, it actually matters, so, like, hopefully you didn't forget it, and if you did forget it, boom, it's here now.
Yeah, I think one of the guys that I work with, his daughters all watched it. It's the ex-cop. And so he was telling me that apparently the way this was made, and I'm pretty sure we could look this up to find out later, or it might be one of the facts. There's 39 more of them. That he apparently wrote this whole story and then kept giving it to Disney. And Disney was just like, no, like, no, just put it off. And then he was just like, pretty much one day he's like, I will do this project, but I want to do this. And it's like, I will not work on this project unless we do Gravity Falls. And that's how it got greenlit, and then it just exploded. And now they keep asking him to do more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no. There seems to be differing opinions of, like, oh, they left it open for more. And I'm like, I don't know. I look at it and I see it as a closed story.
Yeah, I think it's a natural end based on all the characters involved. Mm-hmm.
Could there be more? Yeah. But I think if there was more, it would take away from this whole series. And as we go on, we'll talk about that some more. Because, like, this... technically isn't the pilot. The first episode. Because they have the unaired pilot that just got, like, released recently. I think this episode is a good, like, showing of how the episodes build, because it's like they do like the whole episode and then it's like a minute or two at the end where it's just like, hey, here's a little bit of something that makes no sense and we won't come back to it until the end of the season.
Yeah, they do a really fun way of kind of building up the concept that something bigger is going on. Mm-hmm. But they let the viewer and Dipper both go through it in a natural kind of, like, discovery phase.
Yeah.
And versus... because the problem I have with other shows I'll watch a lot of the time that I've noticed is that they, like, show the viewer something and then they flip back to a character and the character's like, what's happening? And as a viewer, you're like, well, I'm not connected to the character freaking out because I already know the secret because the director decided I needed to know the secret versus me learning with that character.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in this, I do feel like Dipper and Mabel are forced to grow up quite a bit during the summer, but that us as viewers are kind of like watching them grow up and deal with all of these things that I would not be able to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do grow up, but it's just like looking at the start and knowing where it ends. It's like it is an interesting journey it goes through. And so it'll be neat to like poke into some of those things. And I guess if anyone got this far in the episode, first off, thank you. But we're not planning on like going and spoiling like episode 39 of this. Like we're gonna try to keep it like within episode, and if things connect we will
refer back.
Yeah, we'll refer back to it. But yeah.
Thankfully the wiki has been done and kept up with, unlike when I tried to ask us to watch Better Off Ted and the series just kinda like ended on the wiki. No. Plenty of people have been contributing to this.
Which
lots of
sense.
Trivia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this, from what I've heard, there's a big following for this. So when I was at PAX Unplugged, I actually looked over and I saw that someone had a replica of the journal.
Oh, that's fun.
And I was tempted to buy it, and that's as far as I got.
The temptation was like, look at me, and you're like, okay, I did.
Yeah, I was like, well, it's more of like, okay, where would I put this? I did think about buying, like, I think they have like one of the books on Amazon, I think, and it's like a bunch of like notes from written by Alec by Alex about the information and like kind of just his thoughts on like different episodes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I was thinking about possibly picking that up for this, and like normal, I forgot.
Nice. It looks like there was a Between the Pines thing where it's kind of like a special, and Alex gives various facts and information about Gravity Falls. That could be fun to watch at some point if we can find a way to squeeze that in.
Do you have a link to that?
Well, I see it on the wiki, but I just don't know where to watch it. But it could be a nice way to also get... Oh no, I googled it and then give me the movie with Ryan Gosling, because it's called Between the Pines, so they're giving me the movie The Place Beyond the Pines.
I didn't even know there was a movie. So, But. Yeah, so.
Yeah, oh, it looks like it's on YouTube.
Oh. Well, neat. How long is that?
Let me mute this because I'm getting an ad.
Yay.
It's louder than you.
Well, then we can't have that.
Looks like it's 20-ish minutes.
That ain't bad.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
But, yeah, so I think we can kind of ran the course of Tourist Trapped, and which is the first episode. And then the next we'll go... The next episode is The Legend of the Gobble Wonker.
Good episode.
So, yeah. I think one of the things I was going to say is, like, from what I remember, like, the first good chunk, I think half of season one, if I remember correctly, is just introductions to important characters, repeating characters.
Yeah, reoccurring characters, yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, I think now that we have pretty much the main cast, as we move forward, we'll be... Yeah. A little bit more than just, like, yep.
We met him. Yeah, and then the thing that we were kind of hinting at that we talked about off-recording, but is a thing that we did, if you listen to us do the Over the Garden Wall series, is we'll just do the fun bit asking each other about what characters we relate to or feel like we're most like in the episode. And then in the end, we'll take our big old quiz and let the quiz tell us who we ultimately are.
Since this is going to take multiple months, should mm-hmm. we make a page on our Google Sheet thing to record our answers so that way we can see
and keep, like, track of it?
Yeah.
That would be smart. Because we're not going to remember how many times we've said any characters in many weeks.
Fortunately, like, with Over the Garden Wall, it was just... We were doing two episodes, and it was pretty easy. but yeah, so we'll do that. And can't think of anything else.
We'll have more to say in future episodes.
Yes. This Saturday, we'll have more to say.
Too bad you won't get to hear it till a Monday in the future.
Till January 9th. Unless we, for some reason, decide to switch the what day we upload episodes or make them go live. But, yep. And, yeah, for that, bye-bye.